First, have a little study in the Gospel of John on the subject of our Lord's credentials. Remember that he said the reason for the writing of the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter in verse 31 was this, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So God has given us 8 very wonderful signs or miracles in the Gospel of John, chosen from the perhaps hundreds that he performed, to prove to us that he is indeed the sent one of God. The Christ means the Messiah, or the sent one, the anointed of God. Just as kings and priests and prophets were anointed for their particular work, the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Now in the 4th chapter of John, we have the 3rd great sign in John's Gospel. The sign that proved the Lord Jesus Christ to be God, because it demonstrated his absolute power. We associate power with deity. Let's read this story. Verse 46 of the 4th chapter. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, that's about 20 miles from Cana. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. He didn't begin to amend. He didn't have to have treatments. He just didn't get a little better. The fever left him. He was well at the 7th hour. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the 2nd miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now the Lord Jesus didn't even see this boy. He didn't go down with the man, because you can't dictate to God how he shall do his work. He said, Come down. Come down to Capernaum. But the Lord Jesus said, Your son is well. And the man believed him. This is true divine healing. And only God has the power to do things like this. The power of God demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was God, manifest in the flesh. He claimed all of the prerogatives of deity. He claimed to know what God knows. He claimed to be everywhere, to have the ability to be everywhere after his ascension into heaven, as God can be everywhere at once. He claimed to be eternal. He accepted worship. He even used the names of God applied to himself. That's what enraged the Jews, though. He claimed that his words were the words of God. He claimed he would be the judge one of these days. He claimed he could give life, he could set men free, he could forgive their sins. He could send the Holy Spirit, he could give joy and peace, and he could protect and care for them, keep them forever. The Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be God. Now he proved his claim in many different ways, and this is one of the ways in which he showed it. He showed that he had absolute power. There was no trickery about this. He didn't treat the boy. He just said the word, and it was done. Now our Lord Jesus said in his Great Commission, as we call it, before he went back to heaven, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is a sense in which the Lord Jesus Christ always had all power. He demonstrated that in creation. He demonstrated it in many ways. There is another sense in which the Father has given certain powers into his hands because of his special work to do. Now, I can imagine someone is saying, well, if the Lord has all power, why doesn't he do this or that? Why doesn't he change conditions in the world? Well, remember that there are some other factors beside power. Blind power would be a terrible thing. But the power of God is coupled with the wisdom of God, with the will of God, with the love of God. Because God knows what is best to do, and because he's very loving in what he does, he doesn't always exercise his power in the way that we foolish human beings think he ought to do it. I'd like to tell you a little bit just now about one way in which God has shown his great and wonderful power. In the first chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul, writing to them, he had never been at Rome yet, said he was coming there to preach the gospel. And he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That didn't mean that he was bragging about his boldness for the Lord, but simply that the gospel of Christ was something he didn't need to be ashamed of. He knew that it worked. He knew that it was real. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, scholars tell us that this word for power is a word that comes from the same root word from which we get our word dynamite or a dynamo in electricity. The power of God is seen in the gospel. And what does it do? Well, he says, it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. Salvation in the Bible is the great inclusive word that takes in all of the blessing that God has to give for us. It includes the forgiveness of sins. It includes receiving eternal life. It includes our being made the children of God, our being saved from the power of sin in the present day. It even includes our getting new bodies and being taken home to be with the Lord in the coming day. This is all included in the word salvation. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It accomplishes this. It is powerful, isn't it? And God showed his power not as he might have done in judgment, not in wiping this civilization, so-called, off the face of the earth, but in blessing. Just as he blessed this little boy, took the fever away from him, so the Lord would like to take the fever of sin away from somebody who's listening to my voice just now. You know how much trouble it's gotten you into. You know all the delirium that it's caused. You know what sorrow and heartache it meant. Why don't you turn to the Lord Jesus just now and accept him as your Savior? Remember that the Lord has a right to do this because he suffered and died in our place on the cross and rose again from the dead. Because he answered to God for our sins, he has the right, the power, the authority to forgive us our sins. And because he is God, he can put his own life, his own spirit within us, and give us power to live for him. There are a good many people who are afraid to trust the Lord as Savior because they're afraid they couldn't hold on, couldn't hold out. Well, let me tell you a little secret. You couldn't. But God will give you the power. In the 10th chapter of John, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, the Lord Jesus, in his power, is a keeping Savior, a keeping shepherd. And if you put your trust in him, he not only will give you eternal life, but he'll keep you. And then the power of God is seen in the life of a believer, in his being used to win others and to help others. Do you feel ineffectual? Do you feel sometimes how little you're able to do? Well, perhaps you've never been given the power of God. Perhaps you've never really been born into God's family. Or if you are God's child, perhaps you're not counting on God's power. You may be counting on your own strength. And the Lord says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Remember that you have no power but that our Lord Jesus has all power, and put your trust in Him. Our Father,